talks about Tinney County Office of Emergency Management, LEOP. That's the first thing I'd like to talk to you guys about. We had met about the local emergency operations plan, and we made some changes, and I think we've done everything that you guys wanted. I didn't know, are you guys wanting to vote on this today, or you want to do this in a Monday morning meeting? It doesn't matter to me. I mean,
let's set it on Monday morning.
I think so. Let's kind of review it, but
I mean, I've read through it. I mean, it was a nice, boring reading. I appreciate that. So,
well, I think the advantage would be if we do it on Monday morning, because we need to go out to municipalities that do not have their own plan and get them to sign on it too. And I think we may get a little more publicity and a little more momentum behind it if we do this on a Monday morning meeting.
Right. When the first item.
Yep.
Where you got Removal Village of Brotherville. What does that exactly mean? Does that mean that the emergency services that they provided for themselves are now... I don't understand that part.
In all reality, it doesn't mean anything. In fact, it doesn't mean anything. Okay. It probably makes actually life a little easier. Because technically, under state law, before... If we're declared for disaster, and, well, let's say Hollister is affected, or Forsyth is affected, then Forsyth or that municipality did their own paperwork, their own deal for their, and so that really Bradleyville did too.
Yeah.
And now, if something happens in Bradleyville, we'll just take care of it.
Yeah.
Now,
okay.
You know, they have a fire department, but I'm not sure that they're really even directly connected with anybody, so I don't think that even going to matter in one way or the other. And the sheriff always has done the law enforcement, and the ambulance done the ambulance. I really don't think anything.
Okay, I just didn't know. I didn't know how that. It just needs to be part of the language, is what you're telling us.
Village, because before the village administrator or chairman of their board, whatever, would have to sign off on this.
Okay, but now that leads me to the question. They have to have a kind of an administrator or a. I don't think that's the term. Somebody that a trustee,
exactly. We haven't assigned that yet. That's our job.
Okay, that takes care of their business until they get totally
correct
debt free or whatever
There's a trustee that we have to assign
until they finish all that.
Until all their business is finished. I mean, as of the vote and I guess and all that, that ended. After a certain phase, and then there's a trustee or somebody that takes over and makes sure that all bills turned into Bradleyville are paid and all those things that are done. So that's something that we do ourselves, Jim.
That's what Bob Paulson says. We have to go through that process. We just haven't had a chance to meet on that. But I'll make a note, and I'll have Bob work on that.
Okay.
But really, as far as emergency management is concerned, if some disaster would happen, ice storm, flooding, I don't know what would happen, tornado go through Bradleyville itself, they'll just would fall on the county. And
flooding would be a big issue with Beaver Creek there, as close as it is, and it's as much trouble as they've had in the years past. So that would be something that would definitely be something to think about. But anyway, that was the only question I had, and I'd just like to read through it so that...
Anyway, I only brought one hard copy. If you guys want three, we can easily make two more.
Right. Oh, you spelled the county right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And we also got it on a CD, if you'd rather have it on a CD.
Or I can transfer it to you off my thumb drive.
Whatever way you want it.
I think one copy is an awful.
I'll take the thumb drive. Then. I mean, I didn't bring my PC. I'll do it upstairs. But, yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, I can leave this with you guys.
Okay.
And
we'll vote. So you'll be here Monday morning then at 9?
Well, whenever you, is it this Monday or next, whatever you, whenever
we'll just post it this Monday if you want. It can be on the agenda. Can you be it?
I think so. I'm pretty certain I can. Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, I'm telling Nikki right now, so. So I'll just put local emergency operations plan approval.
Right.
Is that right? A contract review or contract approval or...
No, I think the local emergency operations plan.
Approval.
Be better.
That sounds
good. Okay. Well, just plan.
basically, it's the same thing that we went over. Okay.
You just changed the wording for the title for road and bridge administrator and did purchasing under the county commission for resource and supply.
Yeah.
And you said 9 o'clock, right?
Yes, sir.
Monday.
Now, that brings on another question. If there was purchasing, does she need to attend some classes like we all have as far as what?
Is that NIF or NIMS?
NIMS. You know, it wouldn't be the worst if she at least have some kind of understanding of it.
I think it would be.
Where not that she would need to run it, but that she knows where her part of it
right,
is.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
You're talking about to do that too?
Linda Gifford, you were talking about? Okay, well, I'll put that down too.
Does Jim need to have to do that?
We got a pretty good video on that now that kind of starts out with a little overview. I think to me that helps a little bit because if you don't do this every day, it doesn't make a lot of sense, some of it.
Right.
But the video is about 30 minutes, so I don't know if sometime you want to watch that.
Sure.
It's on a DVD. You can watch it on your computer, I guess,
okay.
Or whatever you want to do.
I see a copy of that, too. Would you give me a copy of that?
Okay. And then...
is there a test or something? Or?
Well, no, actually, there is an actual class you take. Mm-hmm.
So I can look at the video and then go to the class?
Is this still 3 days?
Yeah, it's still... Well, they may up to...
I don't care. As long as it's in Miami, I'm fine with that.
Miami... I think it's in Detroit.
Hopefully it's in the winter then.
Yeah.
Miami, Oklahoma.
I look into that because they've kind of been winding down the NIMS classes, so finding them is...
Oh, well, find one far away, though. International would be fine, too. Cancun's fine. Hawaii, I mean, we're good with that.
You know, when we first, and I'm sure Chuck had the same experience, but when we first, I first came into office, I mean, and we were kind of involved in that Homeland Security stuff. I mean, it was like a constant, you know, class here, class there. I was in Springfield and everywhere with classes and I didn't know whether they because there's not been an international incident, they kind of got away from that.
Well, it's all still there. Are people still supposed to do it? But it's not as big of a push anymore because nothing happened, you know, here on in this country since 9/11.
Yeah, I even had was close to some kind of a licensing or degree or whatever they pass out for Homeland Security hours of training or something like that. I even got as far as getting the little emblems, you know, that you put on your vehicle and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot of it's repetitive, real repetitive. So anyway. I hope Jim has to go through twice that much.
I want flags. If I'm going to decal, I want flags on the fenders. You get flags?
Sure.
All right.
The next item I just want to talk briefly about is the Emergency Management Performance Grant, EMPG. That's where we get half of our expenses reimbursed from the state. It's a grant program that we participate. We participate since I know. And this is the second sheet of that handout, and really, I don't know that I need to talk much, but I think several of you had over the time had questions about that. What do we get? What do we get reimbursed for? And that kind of is a little summary of that. And I just wanted to make sure you guys are aware of that. As far as I know, we're the only emergency management people that are doing that in Taney County, Forsyth. You know, they do emergency management, Hollister and Branson, and nobody participates in this grant, but we do every year. So, and I don't think we've ever had any issues getting it.
My understanding is, as long as we're participating in it, we can continue to participate in it as long as we meet all of the requirements. They won't ever reallocate it and add more people in in the state, but there, I guess there's a waiting list. Like if we were to drop out, they
And part of that, we have to participate in some drill every year and make sure our plan is up to date and that kind of stuff is what they require under that to get that grant funding.
But do we have to sign up, re-sign up?
I do.
You take care of it?
Things.
Well, some of those I signed for you.
Exactly. Some of the stuff that you sign, that's what that's for.
Cool.
Anyway, I wanted to make sure you guys are aware of that and so you have it if you ever wonder what the heck is that, whatever. And you got any questions on that? Okay, the next thing I wanted to just briefly touch on is the H1N1. I know you hear a lot about it. We had another meeting with the health department the other day about it. When was it? A week ago, Monday. And quite frankly, nobody really exactly knows what's happening. Apparently, I didn't know this, the common flu, any type of flu, does not like hot weather. It was cold weather, and the wetter it is, the better. So that's why this H1N1 kind of went away almost during the summer.
Right.
But they're all really thinking this is really going to come around this winter. And what's going to happen besides the regular flu, we're going to have the swine flu too.
Mm-hmm.
And the places that are currently in winter in the southern hemisphere, they're having quite a bit of issues with it. However, a lot of people are sick with it. But many, many people, more than they expected, are surviving it fairly well. They're just sick. So what they're really now seem to think the biggest part is that you just may have to, how do you run your business if maybe a third of your workforce is out?
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest issue.
Well, I was kind of wondering about, you know, if something like that, like if you had a few cases in the courthouse, if you had to shut down departments, shut down only a few of the basic, you know, what I've heard and read on it is it's like a 10-day cycle that it goes through, and after that 10-day cycle, then from that point on it's not contagious, but what's left around from that period of time, I mean, you could basically shut down a whole, especially someplace like a courthouse or a city hall or something. They could end up with shutting the doors till it was over with. For a 10-day span.
Well, you
or
know,
something.
There is some parts of the courthouse you probably could shut down for a few days and it'd be okay. But you know, what do you do about the jail? What do you do about dispatch, what do you do about the sheriff in general, you know, some of those things, what do you do there? So that's really right now what they're thinking is going to be the biggest issue. Ironically, normally they always say people over 65 years of age are the most vulnerable and the very young, but they seem to think, and I guess he found some conflicting information on that, but they seem to think over 64 they may have been exposed in the 50s to this at before, and so it doesn't seem to affect them so much.
Mm.
But the very young,
you're all right.
The very young is obviously is always a problem. Any outbreak
lots
you have,
lots of advantages to being old, and or maybe there's not a lot.
Anyway. One of the handouts.
As old as I am, I don't know what
the funny part is. He came up with it on his own. That was the funny part.
Yeah,
without a cue card.
Who is older? You're older than I am.
I didn't say anything about me.
Okay. I'm younger than both of you. A little information.
Yeah, what else you got?
All right, moving right along here.
They are at work.
I mean, we're basically, H1N1 is it's. We think it's going to get worse. I mean, it's going to pop back up in the fall.
Yes.
I mean, the health department's got vaccinations. Are going to have them here?
Have probably to some degree something. That's the big question.
That's what I keep on hearing.
The question is, will it be here in time? And then the big question is how much?
Right.
And depending on how much they're going to get, it's depending how many.
I've heard some real doom and gloom where it's going to be epidemic, it's going to be bad. I've heard some really unsubstantiated reports that it's going to be real bad this winter.
I mean, you probably heard the same thing.
Well, you know, to me, quite frankly, if they give you the normal statistics of how many people die from the regular flu, to me, that's pretty crazy.
It is crazy.
And so that's probably a little, it will be worse than that, because the regular flu is probably still going to happen too.
Right.
And then have the swine flu on top of it.
Everybody that gets the flu is going to think they have swine flu. Everybody
you know that.
You know, and I heard on the TV, radio, or something in the state of Missouri that 10 cities are vaccinating so many people in those major cities to try to put a slow down on the start of the epidemic. I don't know whether that's in Missouri.
I have not heard that.
It was 10 cities, so many people in those cities were going to be vaccinated. That's the first round that they're going to go through. So, I don't know.
Well, that's obviously going to be something this fall that you guys will be...
Jim said he hadn't eaten any pork and he couldn't remember.
I had my round pig, so I don't know what the, it's not related to me.
Yeah,
I guess the West side, we don't
you
have
know
pig,
it really so. Doesn't.
Can you get it through bacon? Is that right here?
All right. Moving right along with the agenda here.
Sorry, I brought that up. Some people you have to work with.
It's just. I just want to make you guys aware of, and the health department in all reality is the leading agency on this, and don't you have a meeting with the health department this afternoon? Mm-hmm. Seems like something.
There's a Breathe Easy Coalition, something at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, something a little different, but okay. The other thing I just wanted to bring you up to date a little bit on is the RSOC, the Regional Homeland Security Oversight Committee. For this whole region, for Southwest Missouri, we had the original meeting at the Taney County Airport about this 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. We had a big meeting there at the airport. Anyway, that's still going on. They meet sometimes monthly, at least quarterly. And we've gotten a few things. The ID card maker, we got through them. And we also have a small video conferencing system now through them. And they are having on October the 21st a big meeting for elected official at the Springfield
Fairground. Is that something we need to be or would like us to be there?
It would be nice if you guys could. I mean, it's supposed to be primary. A lot of equipment be shown off. It talks a lot, again, about what the RSOC does, how they get the money, how it all works. Because a lot of people don't really understand it, and it's just a hope to kind of re-energize that a little bit and let people know about it. And like I say, a lot of equipment that different people gotten will be on display, and it probably will be most of that day, the 21st of October at the Ozark Empire Fairground.
You'll kind of give us a reminder of that, would you,
Elizabeth? Yes, we can do that. And then the other thing I asked Melissa to put on this sheet, what does she does? Not that I don't know, but I want to make sure you guys see what she does on a daily basis here. She does still work one day for the coroner, doing clerical work for the coroner. Fridays is your day for that. Obviously, coming out of these disasters, finishing up, there's still ongoing paperwork, which work with Road and Bridge. It's really the main sewer was a little affected, but Road and Bridge is mainly in. Anyway, I just put that all down there so you guys have that. And then another date, the state swears that we asked for that class, and I know we didn't, but nonetheless, we're having a class on the October 21st and 28th and 29th somewhere. Oh, no, it's at our fire station. I was going to say somewhere in Branson, but at our fire station. It's called Recovery from Disaster, the Local Government's Role.
That'd be us again.
If you guys want to, I mean, Melissa and I are going to be there. We're going, but really the local government, that is you guys. If you guys can do anything there, that would be wonderful.
Perfect.
And I got a couple more questions. One is it's about submitting the budget. I'm not really clear how that's supposed to work, and I wanted to hear it from you guys. It's not that we are asking for anything unusual or changing really anything.
Right.
But we submit it to Rick, and he makes his changes to it and then gives it to you guys?
Mm. No, you submit your you submit what you want, and then if it's in line, we sit down and go through each department, and if there's a big increase, we're asking the departments if you can cut 5% because we don't know what the economy is going to look like.
Okay.
But yeah, just submit it back to Rick, and then we then start having review meetings by department, and if there's no concerns, then it'd be relatively.
So Rick doesn't make any changes.
Well, here's what
he'll make recommendations. We'll have your number and his recommendations.
Yeah, that's where the confusion's at. He takes your budget, and he'll have at the side of it, he'll have recommendations of places where he thinks that we might be able to cut.
Okay.
And it doesn't have anything to do, because we're the ones that make the final decision.
Absolutely.
On those, right. On that budget. But he'll have recommendations of percentage cuts here, there, or if he thinks, and that's...
Right, because he'll have a couple previous years, he'll have what you mm-hmm. budgeted this year, what you're actually used, then you'll have a line, basically, what you want to add, plus or minus, and then any recommendations, he may say, you know, we could probably cut a little bit out of here. And then if it's a substantial, but we always sit down with the departments and go through it and say, can you live with this, you know, and we'll talk back, because you may say, I need this line because I'm going to buy this, or I'm going to do this year. But yeah, it's just basically, you'll come back with what you want, he'll make recommendations, and we all kind of see what it looks like.
Okay.
That makes sense? That, mm-hmm. that answer the questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
That's one. What's the other question? You had two.
I had two. My last question is about a vehicle.
Okay.
Frank, we're ready for you.
No, Mike, it's just a question. Frank is gone anyway. Is it possible, because I know we use, or particularly Melissa uses quite a bit the commission's car right now, but we've had some...
I'll speak for one commissioner. Okay. I'm looking to see if we can't pool the resources and have almost magnetic signs to... We have, this morning we had 14 vehicles in the parking, on the top level of the parking garage. It hasn't been moved now for almost a week. And so if they were moved, they were parked the same way they were before. So we've got vehicles that if they were more in a motor pool, then as needed, you could just go check it out and go okay. use it. Because we've got quite a few. I'm just talking for me, and we haven't had a lot of discussions about it, but we've got a lot of vehicles that are available. I looks like from my perspective.
Hinman?
Is the commission car, has it been available all right? Or?
There's sometimes.
Sometimes.
It's busy. And usually, of course, it's never available in the times that I'm driving the farthest.
Right.
But I'd say it's probably 60-40.
It should be more available because the person who was using a lot won't use it anymore.
Well, I think that along the lines that you're talking, I think we need somebody designated to assign, if we take 10 of those vehicles mm-hmm. and assign, and if nothing else,
just
magnetic signs, just...
Yeah, you just check it out, and you're good for the day.
You check it out, and you're good for the day.
But sometimes you need a truck, an SUV.
One day you may be driving a bicycle, the next day you may be on a...
Or greater.
A grader or something like that. Anyway, that's.
Well,
I think we have those available. It's just a matter of trying to figure out, because it's a senseless situation to have a vehicle sitting there and somebody looking for a vehicle to right. use. So we'll work on that. That's our problem.
We're looking at it this year. Rick, I know, has looked at it. I've looked at it. We haven't made I haven't made a presentation to you guys yet because of what I'm trying to put together, but. There will be vehicles, I'm hoping. The commission cars should be a whole lot more available now. So,
okay, and I think that would be, because, to have a vehicle and it's just to maintain it.
Right.
The one thing I think would be, if you do that, maybe come up with some guidelines or how you use it, who puts fuel in, who doesn't, whatever, you know, how you do those kind of things.
We're working on that. Where do you fuel? Because we're working on fuel tanks, and then, you know, what condition do you leave it in? There's a lot of things we'll have to work through on that.
But I always try to leave it with a half tank of gas, but I've picked it up empty before.
Sure.
Have
I have two, and I've used. I've picked up empty and full of trash. So.
So anyway, I think that would be perfectly fine. That would be great. We just have a little bit more access. Maybe that would be just perfectly fine.
What about availability during an emergency for vehicles that you might need? I mean, is there something that we need to work on a scheduling like that? If you had some disaster, that you would have those vehicles available?
You know, right off the top of my head, not really, because I have my car from the fire district I can drive. And normally, one of our biggest jobs is to coordinate stuff, and we end up being here doing that, not so much being out in the field. Then as it goes on, maybe to do damage assessment or do those kind of things, then again, but this wouldn't be like in the middle of the night we need a vehicle type thing.
I didn't know, because when we sit down a plan here on this, if we decide to go that route, we need to look at several options so we don't have something to jump up at us.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Hey, Frank.
It's for you. Here you go.
That's where he started. And when he answered three correct, he got to that chair.
Should we be in your office this afternoon and transfer the
studio? It's up there right now. It's locked right now. Yeah. Why don't you just put it on Jillian or Nikki's computer, and I'll put it on my thumb drive and put it over.
I can do it.
Thanks.
Okay. Tell you.
Listen, here. Why don't you just go put it on my thumb drive and bring my thumb drive back? There should be, I know there's room on there. So.
Morning. Are we being broadcast?
Absolutely.
Well, I'll quit making those
jokes
about it. No, it's not jokes.
Oh, you really think he's older than you?
Is there something that's personnel or executive?
Personnel.
We don't. We need to wait and go into. I think we've got an.
We had 10:15 for. Well, you can be the beginning of the personnel.
Great.
All righty then.
The reason I called this particular meeting today, Ron and Joan Chowning have asked that we prioritize the projects that we've turned in for, just seeking grants. I didn't want to prioritize these by myself. Wanted some buy-in from the commission. They're listed in the various categories. They're bridge replacement and or repairs. The second category or box down below is roads that are affected by flooding, where people may or may not have to have a detour around the area to get to their homes. Third category is new roadway construction. And the final box down below is a series of road widenings and improvements. A good example of that would be Forsyth-Cheneyville, where we're based on the traffic count of 1,600-1,800 vehicles per day in its current configuration, alignment, and lack of shoulders. That would be a good example of some of the type of issues that we're trying to address with a general description of the roadway improvements.
What are the numbers to the right? Is that your ranking?
Numbers to the right.
You got your boxes here, boss, right And then it looks like you got a 1 through 30.
It's been so long since I've looked at this. Honestly, I don't remember what that is.
Okay, well, it looks like a ranking. I just didn't know. Are we ranking per category? Are we ranking?
Ranking. From all
are we ranking the bridges first? Are we ranking the fill?
All categories combined.
All categories combined.
Yeah, we can do it both ways, but I've been asked for all categories combined. This ranking can't be correct because number 16 on bridges, bridge from K to Dallas, as a number 3, I've heard from certain individuals that shouldn't even be on this list at all.
This is pretty complicated. I mean, we'll probably need to be able to do it than more than 45 minutes, but let me ask you a question. Fall Creek Road, for example, the volume of traffic on that road looks like it's going to at least double, if not quadruple, when the EPS extension gets completed, is what Branson's expecting.
Yes.
I've had some conversations with College of the Ozarks and with City of Branson about you know, that's a county road. Parts of it's a county road that really needs, has some safety concerns. And obviously, the Country Bluff people have said some things too. I don't see that anywhere.
Down under roadway improvements.
Okay.
Number six.
I did, after I finished that long dissertation.
Right at the $5 million project.
Okay. So it is there. Sorry about that. Long talking. So what?
Would you like to keep these yourselves and maybe have a personally rank them and then get to, I can get to the sheets together? And
I mean, it'll take forever if we try to debate every road. I mean, mm-hmm. we may want to have a starting point. What criteria are you asking us to do it based off of what?
These were the $174 million worth of projects. All of these projects were things that I found on the shelf, things that...
Sure.
There's the conglomeration of all of these projects came from various sources.
Right.
Their validity or their chance of getting a grant, I'm not quite sure. I put all of these into the basket hoping for the best.
Okay. This was asked by Joan and Ron for us to prioritize.
Yes.
Okay. But like, for example... The Tiger Grant, it's for $20 million or more.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like each grant dictates what road.
Yeah, whether it's a flooded.
Well,
road,
there may be a bridge. Or... There may be a bridge grant or a. I don't know. The challenge I think is ranking it for Tiger Grant. We put East West Corridor number one. If I'm ranking it for. I
didn't give you any criteria or anything
no.
for what they want.
There's some logic to ranking it by project description or need, like the fill ones, category number two. Those are completely different scenarios than new roadway construction.
But like, okay, so Clevenger Cove, is that done? Was that is fill another word for like flood areas?
Yes.
I mean, these are disaster flood.
These are high water flooded conditions.
Well, I would think that if there is a grant, it would...
I mean, I think every one of those are things that need to be looked at.
Clevenger Cove is not done.
No, it's the low the low area.
On the, right before the campground entering, right. Yeah.
When people can't get to their homes because of a county road that's not filled, I think that should be, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that should be... This is Taney County,
mm-hmm.
and we shouldn't have those situations, and we should work towards fixing that situation.
And there's none of these, I mean, they can all get there, they just have to take a long detour, you're saying?
Yeah.
We don't have any.
Yeah. Right.
Don't have an alternative route, Clevenger Cove being the most inconvenient, probably.
Yeah, they came through on a point, didn't they, or something like that, came down that.
Well, would it make sense then to rank them by category?
Now that I think about it, I think
just
it
because if there's a bridge grant, then we'll have it ranked by bridge grant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it seems like it.
Well,
but it's grant. It's going to be grant specific. That's mm-hmm. the challenge. I mean, we almost need to know what grants we're looking at in order for us to say.
But don't we have work on? I'm not even going to look at this. Then we have work on Staley Bridge, on what's that other bridge over in that area that we've
had
already...
Staley, it's designed, it's ready to go. It was...
That's what I'm talking about. Now, there's another one right over in that same area that we took a road trip on that's already been engineered. Thunder, whatever it is. So those roads that are would be considered shovel-ready should be... Even though they may not be the most important, should be prioritized to the top because the chances of getting a grant on them are the largest.
So we've got engineering done on Staley and
yes.
Thunder both.
Yes.
Preliminary. Mm-hmm.
Staley's was scheduled to be done, worked, and built last year, and then it was pulled off of the.
So is there a way you could create an extra column that says preliminary engineering and final engineering done so I know that helps determine for me.
Yeah.
I mean, if we've already spent the money for engineering, then that we're a whole lot closer to completion than other ones.
Now, I think the commission needs to sit down with Frank and just go through. Once he gets to that point, we need to sit down and prioritize these ourselves.
Individually, and then come back to group and talk about it, right?
Right.
Okay. I will talk to Ron and Joan and see if there's a more sense of a direction versus
if they could, if they could, I mean, since we're doing it for grant reasons, then I'd like to know what grants we're looking at so that we pick the right project that gets the best chance of winning it.
I agree. But put all that aside, put grants and stimulus and all that aside, we ought to have this, we ought to have prioritized.
Well, I still, you know, I agree. I just, I think
need
the
value.
Yeah, I still think that to say that it needs to be done, but to say if there's something Joan and Ron are looking at right now, let's focus on that also while we're doing this. It's almost like we need more information.
Well, following up on what Mr. Pennell said, that the Long Range Transportation Group was part of my opinion that their goal was to help us rank things like these. We've not discussed that for a bit.
That, and I know that we're in discussion about that. They're not present.
Okay.
The Long Range Transportation Group doesn't even have any idea where Staley Bridge is. They don't have any idea where half these projects are.
You're correct.
The county commission, until we were county commissioners, did not have any idea where half these projects are and what their value were. So I have to, as bad as I hate to agree with my friend from the West, that some of these things would need to be something that we would need to look at before it is presented to the transportation group, and then we have a final decision on it.
I think their input would be fine to ask for, but I think it's mainly for us to delve out and maybe looking at the fill areas. I mean, if we had what the average daily traffic was on those areas, that would help us determine which one we ought to look at first.
I mean, that would, I mean, there's a couple things. I'm thinking car traffic. I'm thinking how many residents or citizens do we affect by this?
Commercial business, I mean, income.
I just, if we could get more detail, but there's some data that I was given at the NACO conference that may help us with this.
Okay.
I just remember a spreadsheet that they provided me that may help give us some of the data that we're talking about. That it seems like we just need a little bit more data to make a decision.
Okay.
And maybe when you talk with Ron and Joan, that's what you're going to do, I guess, but what do they know that's out there? In other words, we kind of talked about that, I guess, but are there ones that talk about flooding?
Mm-hmm.
What's your chances?
There's a lot of, I mean, there's just so many subcategories of so many grants out there.
I guess, which ones are they thinking are worthwhile for them to spend time on?
Right.
Okay. We've got plenty of roads for any of them.
I'm sure we have something that qualifies.
So, I guess what I'm saying is maybe we need a priority, a list from them, what they see as priority as far as their ability to get any of those funds.
Okay. I'll gather some more data.
Can you email this to me?
Yes.
Is there room?
Has this list? I know we've seen it. I think we've seen it before, haven't we?
Yes, you have seen it before.
Is this list you put together?
Yes.
From the information you had on the shelf, this and that?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not an old list, in other words.
It's not.
It's not a real old list or anything. It's not like something that Mr. Adam did or something like that.
But I've got a question for you, and I don't want this to be taken out of context, but I have no idea what high road extension would be put on a county grant system for.
If it, I mean, my thought is if the state doesn't have funds, then they can't fund it for the next 15 years. But if the county can benefit from it to build two of the lanes and have the state eventually take it back over, if we can get it through a grant process, because we can get it at a county level versus a state level. I mean, I think he may have added that for me, or he may not have added it for me. But
well, here's the deal. We got the state's going to get $300 million possible grant monies. Now, would the high road extension be on their list?
It's not on their list. Okay. That's why I know it's not even on their long, it's not even on their 10-year plan.
Okay. Then why would we waste our, Joan and them's time on this? Because, there's, I mean, when you talk about high road extension, you're talking about a bridge across Taneycomo.
Well, but, for example, Tiger Grant, I mean, that's only available for 20 projects of $20 million or more. And if we could, if it was a situation where it would benefit the county to be able to get a road and then dedicate it over to the state, I mean, just some of these grants are very unique. And
I know there's some of the just, criteria
just right,
just way out there. I mean,
but the other thing is, I mean, if it got to 376, for example, you know, that high road, you would see a bigger proportion of people using the road. And they stopped short is what they've done. And that, you know, the question is, would that be, first of all, is it, I mean, I'm not saying the county's going to spend $24 million or $35 million, whatever the number is, but if there's a grant out there that can do something like that, I mean, that's why it's on the list. It potentially would help the county.
Right. So, but it's a state project, right? So would we prioritize?
It would be low on the priority list. Yeah.
Okay.
But if there's a Tiger Grant version 2 come out and we get the East-West Corridor in February and there's another version that comes out, we don't have another $20 million project on the list.
Yeah.
So. But it'd be, yeah.
Okay.
It'd be low on the list, absolutely.
Just a question.
What else?
We need to rank this and get back to you as soon as possible. Would you want to try to meet again next week?
Next week.
And just
I got one that I'd like to be added. If you're going to put the new road construction, I'd like a 3-lane. A 3-lane from Branson, New Branson Bridge to T Highway.
176.
Yeah, if you're going to put state roads on the same list, it would be something that we could look at.
Sure.
I mean, if
you
want
to have it on there, you bet.
So
3-lane East 76 from the bridge to T Highway.
Yeah, 3-laning.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
And that.
Okay. I mean, we still have a problem there. If there's an accident on Mount Branson, two bridges doesn't fix the problem.
Right.
You said something about prioritize. Are you thinking that we, each one of us, need to do a list and then come back together?
Yeah,
is that what you were saying?
I think each one of us at least needs to think about it and put some sort of numbers to it so we can at least have an intelligent conversation with Frank. And
Can you take this list and put our ADT on?
I'll attempt to fill in as much as we have.
Well, we've got record on.
Yeah.
And I'd like for you to look at another thing on bridges. And I had a fisherman talk to me the other day, and I stopped and looked at it myself. Look at the bridge that's across Coon Creek before we ever get to the new bridge across Taneycomo.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the deterioration of that bridge. The state might want to value that. You got two new bridges sitting there with a roundabout and a small bridge that is deteriorated to the point where rebars separated from the concrete, almost eaten two.
Now, where are you talking about, Dan?
Coon Creek, as you come down around the hill and that little, as you cross the deep part of Coon Creek before you start into Branson. Right. It's absolutely eat up in worse shape than the old bridge. So, like for you to look at that and either have the state go look at it. A fisherman told me that he was down there the other day. There's a chunk fell off concrete that was, you know, big enough to do a lot of damage. So,
okay.
I looked at it as I stopped there by there the other day and looked at it. Daddy. So there's a lot of things like that that would be more familiar to a group of transportation board members than there would be something that was a bridge from K Highway to Dallas Road there. I mean, that was a ferry at one time. So,
do you want to leave that one on there or take it off?
Which one? The K Highway?
16, yeah.
I'd take it off. I can't see any. I can't see any. The people on that side of the lake didn't want it. They petitioned again. So why would we want to try to fight something that the citizens of the? I mean, I think it'd be a great benefit to them, but I don't. I think you'd be wasting your time to try to promote something and get a grant for. Rather, this is a total work session for me. I mean, after we get this thing and find out what you, what if you can, what your numbers mean on the side and prioritize.
Like if they just took this and pen off to the side with the counts, then just make us copies.
Yeah.
It don't have to be nothing fancy.
Okay. All right. I'll work on this bit.
You've got 20 minutes. Is there anything else, Mr. Rodenbridge?
I meet with you this afternoon, too. I have a whole agenda this afternoon, 3 o'clock.
I've got, just for fun, just Purvis Lane I'd like to talk about. And see, my cousin, another one I wanted to bring in.
Sunview?
Sunview I've got on the agenda, I think, for 3 o'clock or something. Oh, Backwoods. Joe?
Baker.
Baker. Then talked to him yesterday, and I'm hoping to get down there and look at that. You remember what I'm talking
about? Mm-hmm. We've already been there. Yeah. Frank and I went.
It's been nearly 2 years ago we tabled that.
He was supposed to bring that in. I was in contact with him for, I think the records would show that I probably talked to him 6 to 8 times about if he wanted to get something done, to get it done, to come in, petition. He'd already presented a petition that we had tabled or denied one.
Table.
So I asked him to bring it in. I asked him to bring it in. Ask him to bring it in. So I would like for the conversation to be restruck up. And the reason that, and I guess, did you receive a call from him?
Talked to him yesterday.
Okay.
In the office.
There's about 12, supposedly, the conversation I had was I was at the Cedar Creek store, and a person that had moved on that road since all of this had came up. And there were supposedly 12 families or something that were moving in that area.
I had the idea there was like a half a dozen that are in Arkansas that have to use that road. And then there's 3 or 4 that's in Missouri, the idea I got from him yesterday.
Okay.
But he's only, of course, talking about us going not even all the way to the
right.
state line, just going to Moana's place there, which is just
quarter or half, I forget.
It's quite a little project.
If you Based on last time we saw it, he said he would do some more work to it.
Right, and that's what that was the deal. He said if he...
The review said 20 to 25,000. Mm-hmm.
For 400, 500 feet or so?
Yeah.
We have a bus route there that can't get turned around. They refused.
Yeah,
they refused to quit.
Caught backing down it there one day.
Yeah.
Okay.
2 minute recess, please.
2 minute recess.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to get a cup of coffee then.
Collect my thoughts.
Collect your thoughts.